Canto 2. The horizon, whose meridian, at its height, covers Jerusalem, had by now been reached by the sun, and step for step the night that circles opposite in the unseen was climbing from the Ganges with the scales that it lets fall when dark outlasts the day, as if the power of its fingers fails in winter, and it can't take what they weigh. So where I was, the white and rosy pink cheeks of the fair Aurora, as her age increased, were turning orange. Made to think, we tarried by the sea's edge at that stage, as those who seek the road at heart may go onward, but in their bodies pause. Look there! Just as, when morning nears, we see the glow of Mars, rose-red in the thick misty air above the ocean floor, and lying low to decorate the west, so there appeared to me a light that came across the sea, so fast no flight could match it as it neared. I took my eyes off it to ask my guide, "What is it?" I looked back to see it loom. Its size and brightness had both multiplied. On either side it put forth a white plume, two plumes, but were they plumes? And bit by bit below them came a third white plume. And still my master said no word concerning it, and what its three white plumes might be, until the first two unmistakably were wings. And then the pilot clear to him at last, he said, "Bend, bend your knees, for this boat brings the angel of the Lord. Clasp your hands fast. From here on you will see such ministers. See how all human tools are scorned by him. For him no oars or sails. No, nothing stirs or swells except his wings to make him skim from shore to distant shore. See how he holds them raised towards the sky. The air is swept with everlasting pinions, pleats and folds of feathers that will be forever kept pristine and never change as even fine plumage will always do on earth." And as he came close, it was clear he was divine. For he grew brighter than men's vision has the strength to bear, and down I cast my eyes, and with his fleeting boat he touched the shore. A boat so quick and light it almost flies above the water, which gives way no more beneath it than as if it had no weight. The steersman on the poop deck stood still now, stood so his blessedness that was so great seemed written on him, and that boat from bow to stern had sitting in it as it slid ashore more than 1,000 spirits. "When Israel," they sang in Latin, this they did with one voice, "out of Egypt came." Right then they sang it all as written. Then he made the sign above them of the Holy Cross. They flung themselves, as if they had obeyed his order, on the beach. With little loss of time, as fast as he had arrived, in fact, he left. The crowd remaining there seemed new to this place. They were caught up in the act of testing something. As new people do, they gazed about. And on all sides the sun volleyed the day, and Capricorn was chased with keen-tipped arrows from the zenith. One and all the new arrivals rose and faced towards me, saying, "If you know the way to reach the mountain, tell us." Virgil thus, "You think we know this place? We came today, just before you. It's all as strange to us as it must be to you. The way we came was different, and so bitter, hard and rough, that now the climb before us will seem tame." The souls who had already seen enough of how I breathed to know I was alive turned pale with wonder, as if to see the bearer of an olive branch arrive and hear his news. They all had rushed headlong, uncaring who got crushed. So one and all of these most favored souls gazed at my face transfixed, as if forgetting their first call, to go and become beautiful. With grace, one came to me, and with such warmth that I met his embrace with mine, I was so moved. "Ah, shades, your looks seem solid, but they lie." Three times I held him, and three times it proved that I in vain had clasped my hands behind his back and brought them back to meet my breast. My face displayed the wonder in my mind, I think, because the shade made manifest his pleasure in a smile, Kennan withdrew as I, to follow him, stepped forward. He gently suggested that I stand. I knew then who he was, and bade him talk to me a little while. He said, "As I loved you when I was mortal, so I love you still now I am free, and therefore I remain. But you, why do you want to climb the hill?" I said, "Casella, only to regain the place I came from do I take this road. But now you're here, how much time have you lost?" And he to me, "He stays true to his code. He takes up who he wants, there was no cost to me, and when he wants. If many times he has denied me passage, these are just decisions on his part and never crimes. A righteous will frames his will. What he must, he does. Nevertheless, for 3 months now, without fuss, he has taken all who would embark, and I, well, I had come at last down to the Tiber's mouth, and there I stood where water that was fresh turned salt, and he gathered me in. For he has set his wing, through all this year of papal jubilee, on visiting that river mouth to bring those crowded souls away who do not sink down to the Acheron. And I, if no new law forbids you now to even think about the thing you once could not forgo, if you can still remember and still do what you once did, make music for a song, and the very first to set my words was you, your songs of love lulled me when I would long for anything, so may it please you here. Refresh my soul with music for a while, for with my body it grew tired from fear and effort on the road from mile to mile, with nothing lovely to placate the ear. O love that speaks," he then began to sing, "speaks in my mind," he went on, and so sweet were words and notes together like one thing, that still today the song stirs to repeat its clear lilt in my memory, lingering, always the same and never changing. I, my master, and those people there with us seemed as content as if, while time went by, nothing remained to think of or discuss. When suddenly the old one cried, "What's this, you laggard spirits? What's this negligence? Why the delay, all this artifice? Run to the mountain, for your sloth prevents God's being clear to you. It must be stripped from you. Yes, you are here to be made clean." As doves collecting when their food is tipped where they can get their beaks to it, are seen to pick up wheat or tares, with little sound and nothing of their usual show of pride, but they will leave their food there on the ground if something comes to scare them, for beside their new concern, their first concern turns pale. Just so I saw that troop of fledglings go towards the slope and heard their last notes fail. They left their song, but did not seem to know where to go next, yet had no time to waste. And we went too, and went with no less haste.